evening's message is called a faith test. That's what we're looking at. We stepped back. We kind of looked at some people in Hebrews 11, and now Hebrews 11 steps back after it did a reflection and goes back to Abraham. So we're coming back to Abraham this morning on this faith test. So I was thinking about tests, and who likes taking tests? No, I don't like taking tests either. Remember those tests? But tests are made for a way to measure things, right? Like measure if someone is learning, if they're progressing, if they're understanding, those types of things, you know, that type of stuff. And I was never a great test taker. Maybe I've said this before, but I went to college, and when I came out of high school, well, I loved high school and fun, and obviously grades didn't much fun and not enough grade time. So I go to college, and that's before the day of you log on and do everything on the internet, right? So I show up at college, I enroll, and they look at my GPA and they said, "Oof, we're going to have to put you on academic probation." I'm like, I didn't even enroll yet. I said, just give me one semester. I'll study. I'll get it all. So then I was on the dean's list. But anyhow, so that's my education experience. But nonetheless, with testing, it's made to measure things. It's made to see how much, like when a teacher looks at your scoring from a test, the teacher can then say they understand it, they don't understand it, they know or don't. How did the pilot pass the test without speaking? Oh, that's a good one. He's flying by the seat. He winged it. He winged it. But I think I like flying by the seat of your pants better. Yeah, we're on the fly. Why don't you ever take a test in the jungle? There's too many. All right, so you gotta watch those cheetahs. There's a teacher, and the teacher student came up to turn his test in, and the teacher said to the student, "I hope I didn't see you looking at Timmy's paper." The student said, "Boy, I hope you didn't see me either." So that's kind of how we are with tests sometimes, but goes back to that cheetah. Anyway, all right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just ask that the Spirit will speak to us as we open your word and we look at your word, and we know your word is true and never and everlasting and always speaking, Lord. Speak to us this morning. Have your word settle into our heart so we can understand you better, understand your word better, and influence more people around us, even in our own life and people around us with spiritual direction. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, so Hebrews, we're going to be at Hebrews 11:17. Faith test. We started off with the test. We're looking at this test, and it's a test of faith. Okay. Faith can be, right? And we did that this morning. So, Hebrews 11. Starting in verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned," Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. So in this story of faith, we go back where we already looked at Abraham and we looked at Sarah, and now we're going back once again to look at Abraham, Abraham's faith, and he was being tested by God. And what was that test? We know the story, right, of Abraham with his son Isaac, and that God asked him to do something that's really like, can you imagine that as a dad, can I imagine being asked to take my son and you've given my life for this son and you've been given these promises from God, and we're going to look at those, to take your son and bizarre, right? I mean, that's really like, I can't imagine what Abraham was thinking. It was like living by faith, and he took the promises of what God said, and he reasoned, but what he saw from God, and he reasoned in his mind that God can bring him back from the dead. At this point, we haven't seen anyone come back to life. We saw God, the Enoch, and we've looked at that, but Abraham didn't know of God bringing anyone back to life, but he reasoned in his mind. So this test Abraham was given, he had a choice. He began to look at the situation and he had to reason through this test of faith. How many times have we been tested in our faith? Because a test, it's kind of, I said this the other night actually to the Action Kids when we were having Friday night. Your faith is like a muscle. You have to use your faith, right? You have to use it. If faith is truly the language of God, then we need to be using our faith. And we see here that God comes back and puts this test on Abraham to see if Abraham was going to love his son more than going to love God. Abraham and Sarah have waited their entire life to have that, and we all know what they went through. She said, sleep with my servant, and then I got, then that would be our son. Well, no, that wasn't the way to get. Ishmael was not the chosen son. It was I was to be the son that God used for Israel. And that was the promise that God gave. And now all of a sudden, God's telling Abraham, it's time to take your son and sacrifice him for me. Put him on the altar. And God tells him, and the whole Abraham story is in Genesis 12 through Genesis 21. And when you looked at, and when I look at the testing of Abraham's faith, and this was God as the reviewer, the test teacher, he was reviewing, like, did Abraham understand faith? That's what a test was, you remember? It's a measurement testing. When a student takes a test, and they measure if they understand the material, if they got that knowledge of Abraham. Now God's looking at Abraham with this test of saying, does he still have the faith? Or now that he has this promised son, has he lost his faith in me? And then it's this test that was put out, and Abraham then began to reckon and reason about this decision of what am I going to do? And we all do that on reasoning, right? And look at things. When I was in high school, middle school, I worked as an assembly guy. I was the director of assembly in middle school, putting tractors together in this shop. So I was 14, 15 years old, and my job was to get the paperwork in the morning, and I'd I'd look at what tractor needed. I'd uncrate it, and I'd, you know, put oil in it, and I'd make sure the tires and everything and the blades were all tight, and got the tractor together, right? But my boss, he was a super salesman. He could sell anything to anybody. And one day I was down in the basement and I walk up to the showroom and he was there making the sale, working this deal. And the guy leaves and my boss looks at me. We also went to the same church. He goes, Jeff, he said, that guy will call me in 15 minutes and he's going to buy that tractor. And he's probably right, right? So he said, I'll bet you lunch on it. I said, okay, I'll take that bet. So I went downstairs and I began to reason. I began to think about his personality and what I knew of him. And I was like, you know, he's probably right. That guy's going to call back in 15 minutes and I'm going to be out $10. Yeah. And I was 15. I'd rather have him pay for my lunch. So me being the kid that I am, I'm still a kid. Being the kid that I was, I started to think about it. And I was like, I'll take the phone off the hook. So I went over. There was a phone downstairs. Whoop, took the phone off the hook. No phone for the next 45 minutes. 12 o'clock came and my boss said, he didn't call. I guess I owe you lunch. Come on, let's go. So we go out to lunch and we're sitting there. And I told him, I said, hey, Rick, I took the phone off the hook. And there he left. And we get back. By the time we get back, like the minute after we left, the guy called, bought the tractor. So anyhow, but I had to reason through, like, this guy's personality. I reasoned what the bet was, right? And I didn't want to lose the money because I knew the reason that this was actually going to take place because he's a good salesman. So I reasoned through that. And then I got smart and I took phone off the hook. Abraham did the same thing. God came to Abraham and he said, Abraham, I want you to sacrifice your son. If he did this to his wife, did he tell Sarah? Like, I'd have to go back and I don't know. I'd have to go back and study that. But Abraham was given this task. Next morning, like, he didn't question God. The next morning, he got up, loaded his donkey, cut the wood, got the servants, and stuff on the donkey, and they started off to go. God told him to go to sacrifice his only son. The reasoning now comes to this. Abraham, with his faith, had to step back and go back to what God has done in his past life with his faith. He had and realized, what has God done? Faithful so far, right? Abraham was what? He was called to move, and Abraham what? He moved. And Abraham saw God work how he moved. Also was told that anyone that curses you or hurts you, they will be cursed. Even when Abraham then made the stupid decision to call his wife the sister and give his wife to not just one king, but two kings, both the Pharaoh and the Pharaoh were what? They were cursed somehow. That they came back to Abraham and said, what have you done to us? Why did you do this? Luckily, we didn't touch your wife. And he saw God work. So he saw God work two times. One, get up and move, and this is the promised land I'm going to take you to. All this land is going to be yours. If anyone hurt you, they're going to be cursed. If they hurt you. That was true. The faithfulness that he saw, okay, this is still going. Then he comes, and the angels and God, they come to Abraham and said, you're going to have a son. Come on. I'm not going to have a son. And Sarah laughs. I'm not going to have a son. So then what did they do? Which we all know. They go back, and they make their own way to have a son through girl. And no one It's not what God wanted. God still continued to tell Abraham what he's going to do. That they thought would push God's hand. No, God had a plan. And this was years. This was a year of faith walking, seeing God work. Even then, to the point Abraham's old. He's old, right? He's old to have, like, Sarah's barren, can't have any, you know, her sister time to bear children. Abraham's old. And so then they go, well, okay, God, I have the servant. He's been with me forever. How about he's the heir to the nation that you promised? And God's like, dude, I told you, Abraham, this is what I'm going to do. And all of a sudden, these angels show up and says, you know what? This time next year, Sarah's going to have a... She laughs and, okay, but that time next year, guess what? Sarah has a baby. All these things, Abraham reasoned that if I sacrifice my son, so thing has told me, it might not be my time frame, might have not been when I think it should have happened, but God has been faithful in every last event that he calls out to me. So now it's this test. A test. Think about that. How many times have we tested in our faith? You know, and I'm just going to say, as Americans, we get tested, but we're like, I'm not, how do I say this? I love our nation. I love America. We've been blessed beyond many things, right? And as Americans, is our faith on God or is our faith on the opportunities where we finance our dreams, right? I mean, I'm just like, you see what I'm saying? I'm not about anything on that, but I'm just saying there's places in the world that do not have the opportunities that we have. There's places in the world that are dirt poor and people have the faith just like Abraham, and then you come to America and we get, you know, we get blinded by what we have sometimes. That's what I'm saying. So we get blinded and our faith gets weaker than relying on God. Because, you know, we're kind of cushy. So we rely on our cushiness. Does that make sense? That's kind of what I'm saying. But Abraham here reasoned that, okay, God has been faithful in all these steps. Now it's my son who I've waited my entire life, and my wife has waited her entire life to have. And this boy has brought such joy into our life. And God was faithful. And God said, the nation that I promise you is coming through this son. So his faith said, I've seen every last word God tell me come to truth. Every last one of them. Now he wants me to do this. And he doesn't shrink back. He reasons through it, knowing the trust and faith in God. And the test was, am I going to do this? This is what God wants. He steps out the next day without even questioning God. And he takes the test and he starts to walk. And we know the story. He leaves the servants behind. He takes the stuff off the donkey. He walks to the designated location where God told him to sacrifice Isaac, and he builds an altar. And Isaac, you know, imagine if he was, but then his son says, Dad, you know, we have all this stuff. Well, where's the sacrificial lamb? Where's our sacrifice? And then he starts to tie his son up and he puts him on this altar. Talk about the faith of a guy. Ties up his son, puts him on a, takes his knife, raises his hand. He went He was ready because he knew that the promise that God gave him through Isaac would come to be a true thing, but he had to follow what God said. So he finally, as he lifted up his knife, sword, whatever he had there, and to bring it down, whoa, stop. And Abraham, what? Abraham passed the test of faith. It was all based upon God saying, am I your everything? Right? God saying, am I everything to you, Abraham? Do you love me more than you love your family? Do you love me more than you love your son? Do you love me more than you love the land that has been promised to you? Do you love me more than anything else and trust me more than anything else? And Abraham passed that test. Huge. You know, I think about that. If I had to tell one of my kids, whoa, let me just think about that. The faith level there was enormous. So now we look at Abraham being called out on this test of faith. Because so many times when we get tested by faith, and then you think about it, well, people will say, well, you know, faith was so, everything he wanted, this faith of Abraham was the lifetime, seeing God work, stepping back and wondering, does God still see me? Does God still want this to happen? And waiting, and then you get all this stuff. When we talk about another type of situation, Job. So Job, what do we all know? So Satan came to God. They're having a meeting, and Satan says to God, hey, well, God says to Satan, where have you been? And he said, well, you know, hey, have you considered my servant Job? I mean, look at him. He's a faithful man. He's righteous. He does what he's told. I mean, he's a righteous man. And what does Satan say? And this begins the test for Job. And Satan says, well, of course he's like that. God, you've blessed him with every last thing he has. The big thing, he has houses, he has flocks and sheep and food and hay and grain, and he's been blessed with everything. So why wouldn't he be faithful to you? Good question, right? And Satan said, well, let's test him. Another test. He said, just don't touch the man. And then we know the story of Job, where he lost everything, sitting out in a junk pile of ashes. All his wealth was gone. His family was gone. All his flocks were gone. And this is like, boom, overnight, right? I mean, this happened. And his whole world came to a stop of this test that Job endured. And which we all know that Job then didn't curse God. For saying, and the people were saying, you've done something wrong. And Job is like, God is all I have. Right? And that's what Abraham, going back here, Abraham said, God is all I have. And he held to the promises of what God told him. In my world, in our world today, remember, this is a now faith. So we looked at Abraham's now faith of his walk when he walked through that. What was his faith that whole time? Job, the same type of thing. What was his faith during that whole time? They had to continue to have this faith, a grounded faith that God can do anything. And I know that, and I'm trusting him and relying on that. That's what I'm relying on. God tell us today. Yeah, what are the promises that Scripture has called out to us today as believers. Obviously, we're not under the Old Testament law anymore, right? We're under Christ's salvation. Which once again, that's the biggest promise for us is Christ's salvation for us, which we all know we're going to be looking at this week. Christ's death, burial, and resurrection for us to have salvation. If we hold and believe that Jesus Christ is our Savior and our sins have been paid for through His blood, and we hold to that, we find salvation. So if you've never done that, which, you know, I'm looking at everybody, but if you've never done that, talk to me. You need Jesus Christ first for any type of righteousness. You need Jesus salvation, right? That's what we need. That's why we're here. That's why we're here today. For Jesus. His salvation. His sacrifice. So, been those promises that we had. Psalms. And I'm just going to call out, and I'll put out some verses as we're going to be closing up. Psalms 1:1-3, one of those promises, those who follow God's ways prosper. That's in Scripture. Talked about it in Psalms 1. Psalms 1-3, those who follow God's laws and His ways prosper. And they prosper how God wants them to prosper. That's what God does. That's a promise. Romans 1:16-17, salvation is given to those that believe. Right? Those that believe, salvation is given to. We go back to the thief on the cross. I talked about that a lot because the thief on the cross could not come back and be baptized. Like he couldn't be baptized. So salvation isn't through baptism. Salvation isn't through infant baptism. Salvation isn't through the even immersion water baptism, because the thief on the cross was hanging there dying, and he had no op. It wasn't through work, so he couldn't get up there and go feed the needy at the local market, because he was on a cross and he was going to be dead in a couple hours. But yet God said to him, Jesus said to him, today you'll be with me in paradise because you have believed. He believed. So we have that. Romans 8:28, those who love God, all things work for good for God's promise. Promise from God in our life today. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4, us in our affliction. God's our comforter. It's a promise from God. And we can believe that and walk faithfully understanding that, or we can live miserably thinking, God's a big meanie. He's going to do it. He just pushes me down. Right? You all know people who complain about God all the time, like, he's really punishing me. Come on. That's a promise. God comes us in our Ephesians 1:3. Bless us. We're blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing. It's a promise from God. 1 Peter 1:4. We have an inheritance waiting for us in heaven. There's an inheritance there that's not destroyed by moth and rust, but there's this inheritance that's waiting for us as believers because we believe in Jesus Christ. The promise from God. Philippians 4:6-7 tells us this, and we can all use this all the time, can't we? Don't be anxious. Whoa, that's a promise from God. Don't be anxious. Peace, the peace of God guards our hearts and our minds. A promise from God. A comfort from God. Philippians 4:19. God supplies everything we need according to His purpose. He's going to supply it according to His purpose. That's not saying, hey, everyone's going to be a millionaire, a billionaire, according to God's purpose. What we need, what God has planned, what God's purpose is and plan for our life, He's supplying that. John 10:10. God wants us to have an abundant life. In Christ, we have an abundant life. And you can look at John 10. I wanted to read that, but we're not going to. John 10, 28. Eternal life. What we talked about. Eternal life. The most important thing for us right now is our eternal life. Yeah, we're walking by faith. And we're looking at the testing. But we need salvation. Because we can be the most faithful person out there. But if we don't believe that Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, then we're dying and going to hell, even if we're the greatest person there is. And if you might think, well, you know, hey, I'm a really good person and I help the people in my apartment complex. We're giving over to Jesus Christ and held on to his salvation and his blood and his body that took away our sins and confessed and said, Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life. I want this. I believe you. Then you don't get eternal. Well, you have eternal life, but it's eternal death, right? That's the options. These are promises that God has given us. And we need to remember these promises, right? We need to remember when life gets just like this, when Abraham's life got really hard and he had decision to make and he had to reason out the reasoning behind this, he went back to his faith of what he saw from God in the past. That's where we are right now, right? We need to reason and we know who God is. Heavenly Father, we know who you are. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come, Lord. We know, Father, we see it in this book, this chapter that we're going through of faith and all these people. And we look at Abraham and that this test that you gave him and he passed this test and whoa, what a hard test. But he passed it. He lived by faith. Lord, help us as we look at these stories and we try to understand them and we look at the promises that you have given us in Scripture. Help us to know that there's truth there. And Lord, I pray for if no one in here has ever accepted you, that they'll talk to me, that they'll accept you right now. Simple prayer. Lord, I trust you. I know you died for me. I give you my life. Take away my sins. And I believe in you. Lord, that's what we know. That's what we know and have. We hang our trust on that. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for this day. In your name we pray. Amen.